Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Bring to your awareness, if you may not be aware of it now, that we're actually in the middle of Ramadan. It's a holy month where they take this time to fast, and it begins on June the 3rd and ends on July the 5th. But something pretty remarkable happens during this time period. We've been hearing testimonies for quite some time that Muslims are encountering Jesus during the month of Ramadan as they're seeking God and fasting and praying, that they receive visions, they receive dreams, they have visitations, and they give their lives to Jesus. There's a new report that's come out that basically said from 1960 to 2010, there's been a serious explosion in the growth of conversions from Muslims converting to Christianity.
Beautiful.
Something like from 200,000 to 10 million plus. And I want you to hear from Joel Rosenberg as he begins to share what's taken place and what's happening in the Islam community, in the Muslim community, where many of them now are saying, we need to relook at this in terms of ISIS and all this. And is this really what my religion is all about? And they're coming to Jesus Christ. Watch this.
Is there an unprecedented spiritual revolution taking place in the Islamic world? A 2015 study published in the Interdisciplinary Journal of Research on Religion makes that claim. Joining us now to talk about it is author Joel Rosenberg. Joel, always great to have you on the broadcast. Listen, on your blog, joelrosenberg.com, you referenced that study that shows more Muslims came to Christ between 1960 and 2010 than in any time in history. Tell us why.
Well, it's fascinating, right? We've gone from about fewer than 200,000 Muslim converts to Christianity in 1960 to better than 10 million by 2010. And of course, that was 6 years ago. We believe the trend lines are continuing. Mm-hmm. Look, a lot has happened in the last 50 years in the Middle East. A lot of revolutions, wars, turmoil, poverty. And I think what's happening, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, is many Muslims are getting deeply uncomfortable with the idea that ISIS or Iran's leadership or Assad are the type of people that represent Islam. Mm. And many Muslims are saying, look, if that's Islam, if that's real Islam, I'm out. I'm not comfortable with that. And they're beginning to search. There's so much sadness, so much pain and hardship that they're beginning to question whether the system they've always known and believed to be true really is.
Hmm. And do you speak to that a little bit more? Is there the sense of disillusionment within Islam?
Tremendous, yes. And in fact, all throughout the Islamic world for the last several decades, Muslim scholars, people who have not yet converted to Christianity, they're asking what went wrong. Mm-hmm. The Islamic world was once the pinnacle of military might, of science and technology and culture and art and architecture. And yet now you don't see Nobel Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners. You don't see high-tech discoveries. And right, you've got oil and you've got war and you've got poverty and you've got illiteracy. And Muslims are asking, what happened to us? If God is with us, then why are we struggling? And there are different reactions. Some Muslims are saying God is not with us and we need to become more radicalized and become violent. Mm. And commit jihad, holy war, as it were. But others are saying, no, maybe we're wrong. And they're beginning to search satellite television, the internet, radio, and other believers that they're just meeting on the ground, as it were, as well as dreams and visions of Christ. Mm-hmm. God is using many ways to get the gospel message to Islam over the heads of the clerics and the governments, right at a moment when Muslims are going through this tremendous upheaval and soul searching.
Yeah. And
it's encouraging.
Would you also say that, you know, there's also more ministry to the Muslim world than ever before?
I believe so, although I believe a lot of that has accelerated post 9/11. Mm-hmm. In other words, when radical Islam hit the United States, there was a reaction. Obviously, we went to war and there was other reactions, and many Americans and Christians generally were began to get very angry at Islam, but others began to say, listen, what is motivating them to hate us so much? Mm-hmm. Maybe we've neglected, as the church broadly speaking, and the American church in particular, maybe we've neglected bringing them the good news, that there is hope, that there is salvation, that one doesn't have to kill oneself. There's somebody that's already died for us to forgive us our sins. And so I think there has been an acceleration of missions work in the Muslim world right at the moment, again, combined with technology,
yeah,
which has allowed fewer people to be able to reach more people with the gospel. I don't think enough people are engaged in Muslim evangelism. I think that's actually still a weakness. But I also believe that God is moving very powerfully using dreams and visions, mm-hmm, Muslims are having of the man in white, of Jesus Christ himself. And they are beginning to seek, even when the church is not always willing to preach. And so there's all these things are converging at a moment where I think this is the greatest moment of spiritual openness among Muslims. The data now is starting to come in showing that this what we've all sensed to be true, this tremendous surge of Muslims turning to Christ. But again, remember, 10 million converts, let's say it's twice that, 20 yeah. million. In a world of 1.6 billion Muslims, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
So if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission and reach every nation with the gospel, make disciples of every nation, we're going to have to really pick up our game and be much more faithful at preaching and strengthening pastors and ministry leaders in the region so that they can reach their people with the gospel.
You talked about the lack of concerted effort to reach out and to engage the Muslim world. This would be a perfect month because the 1.6 billion Muslims around the world are taking part in what's called Ramadan, their holy month of prayer and fasting. How important is it for Christians to get engaged praying for Muslims during this very important month for them?
Well, George, I'm glad you asked the question. I'm glad you're doing the segment, because right at a moment where Muslims, even ones that don't think of themselves as super faithful, but are trying to pray and refrain from eating or drinking all throughout daylight hours for an entire month, this is a moment to be praying for them, that God would begin to open their eyes. That as they're praying for favor from God, that God, the God of the Bible, would in fact give it. Mm. But revealing to Muslims, hundreds of millions of Muslims, not just tens of millions, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we would work with and strengthen ministries that are broadcasting the gospel in by satellite television, by radio, by the internet. And then, of course, local believers on the ground who are so persecuted. I think in many ways the violence that we're seeing on the ground in the Middle East is the physical manifestation of the spiritual battle for souls, mm-hmm, in the Muslim world. So this is a tremendously important month to be praying for and engaged in ministry to the Muslim world.
1.8 billion Muslims around the world. Listen, we can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray for them and help them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have an amazing testimony for you, Naeem Fazel, and he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So many times, you know, you're hearing about Muslims in the news, and a lot of things are stereotyped. You know, people are marginalized,
mm-hmm,
and listen, God loves everybody, you know. Not every Muslim is a radical jihadist, you know. We have to be able to think with empathy and be able to understand that if we grew up a certain way, that's how we grew up. Mm-hmm. That's how you lived, right? And you didn't know anything. And when you got to give people a chance, and we have to have a heart of empathy that says, listen, I want to pray for that person. I want to stand in the gap for that person. I am certainly appreciative of those who stood in the gap for me,
mm-hmm,
and didn't put me in a box, but said, you know what, I'm in spite of him, I'm going to pray for him. And look, you know, thank God, I know the Lord, you know. So I want you to listen to Naeem Fazel's testimony on how he encountered the Lord. Watch this.
We grew up Sunni Muslims, and so we weren't radical or extremist by any means, but we were definitely conservative. We would fast during the month of Ramadan. Friday prayers were normal. My sisters would cover up.
Naeem Fazel lived in Kuwait, and he studied the Quran diligently.
We grew up learning and memorizing, actually, the Quran. I can recite passages of the Quran because there was a value in memorizing the Islamic scriptures.
While his life was grounded in the Muslim faith, a chain of events took place that set Naeem on a new spiritual journey. His older brother had an opportunity to study in the United States.
He came here, and a year later he came back, and he was different. And I knew something was up, and that's when he actually told us that he was a Christian. I remember that day because I had threatened to kill him.
Even though Naeem resented his brother's change of heart, he decided to visit him in America.
I hopped on a plane and came to the U.S., and that's when I got confronted with Christianity.
3 weeks after arriving in the U.S., he went to see a movie with his brother. It was a Christian film.
Here I was confronted with this whole new concept or whole new religion, but it was more than a religion, you know? And in that movie, I realized that maybe there's something else out there.
Naeem was confused and began to question his Muslim faith.
So I remember just kind of praying, and I wouldn't even call it a prayer. It was just more of a, I don't know who's up there. If you're real, show me. After that, I had another conversation with my brother. He told me that this God who came down in the form of his son, Jesus, would pursue me and do whatever it takes to have a relationship with me. I remember making fun of him, and I said, well, you know, will he just come down if I just ask him? And my brother said, yes, if you would ask him, he'll come down. And I remember at that point, I went, this is ridiculous. But in my head, I was thinking, you know what? If this is true, then why don't you reveal yourself?
That night when he was going to sleep, he sensed what he describes as an evil presence filling his bedroom.
The door opened, I looked up, and the room started to look really strange, more like death. I mean, what walked in was this demon, this thing that I couldn't even explain. So this thing starts walking towards me and somehow communicates that it's going to kill me. And it stopped right on my bed and just disappeared.
He ran down the hall to his brother's room.
He said, you know, the only person that I know has power over demons and angels is Jesus.
Naeem returned to his room.
I said, Jesus, I don't know who you are. I can't call you the Lord of my life. I can't call you, you know, Savior. I can't call you any of these things because at this moment, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I need help. But if you will help me, then I will give you my whole life. The next moment, I found myself sitting on my bed with my eyes open, staring into this presence. I can't even explain it. It was the presence of Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. This peace was so aggressive. It invaded every single thing, every part of me. And I felt like it communicated to me saying, your life is not your own. And I believed it.
He finally understood all that his brother was trying to tell him.
I wanted to do everything possible. So I think the first month or so, I must have prayed the sinner's prayer or accepted Jesus or said the prayer like about 8 or 9 times because I just wanted to do it. I just want to make sure.
When he was a Muslim, he learned the Quran and knew a lot about Allah, but didn't have a relationship with him.
It makes total sense now. It only makes sense that God would come in to us in the form of a human, and to be able to relate to us, but also to redeem us, and to have a relationship with us.
In the years that followed, Naeem ministered to college students and met his wife, Ashley. They now have 2 beautiful children, Asher and Noura. Naeem challenges those in the Muslim faith to make a specific prayer if they really want to have a relationship with God.
When Muslims talk with me and you know, we talk about our differences and why I converted, you know, my challenge to them is this. I said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you consistently for a period of time, maybe take 2 weeks or so, and just sincerely seek this God, this just Jesus. He's able to take a person, radically transform them, and give them a purpose beyond their imagination. Because that's exactly what God did to me. God wants a relationship with them more than they do. And so God's going to pursue them. And all they need to do is just ask.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Isn't that great?
I just think it's beautiful. So many people are having just an intellectual conversation. But to me, there's nothing better than an actual encounter with God and hearing someone's testimony. It's just like, that's where it's at. I love that.
I was blind, but now I see. Amen. You know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. Listen, people need to encounter God. And when they encounter God, just get out of their way.
Yes.
You know, because how can you not fall in love with him and give him 100% of your life? It's amazing. You know, I think about Naeem's story, and I think about of some things that can help us in our quest to try to reach those that don't know Christ. If you're not blessed to live in an international community, if you're not blessed to have the opportunity where there's a lot of cultural diversity, understand that maybe you're close to a community college, or maybe you're close to a four-year school where there have international students. Reports are that what international students want the most are American friends. And so why not befriend an international student? Why not find a way that you can bless them and be a friend to them and give them the things that they need in hopes that you can build a relationship so that you can talk about the Lord?
Yeah. Well, think about that. I mean, you're witnessing, you're sharing who God is in your life to someone who is not even from America. Never know what could come to happen. They go to another nation, ended up giving their lives to the Lord, and you've impacted an entire nation. Just think about that. And it's just like the beautiful of what God can do through your testimony, your story.
Listen, people are coming from all over the world into the United States. This is our opportunity to invest in them and let them, like you say, go back to their country. Not to mention all the media that's available today, Christian media that is streaming into homes and on podcasts and all different ways on apps where they can get the message of the gospel, and they can encounter the Lord. So we want to encourage you, take this time, starting June the 5th, all the way to July the 5th is the month of Ramadan. Take this time, commit yourself to prayer that God would open the eyes of Muslims, that they would encounter Jesus, even in vision and in dreams, that God would set up divine appointments for them to come into contact with other believers that are going to share words of knowledge and pray for them and give them the truth. I'm telling you, I'm so encouraged by this because, you know, the goal still has not changed. Heaven full, hell empty. And while we're still here, we have the opportunity to bring as many people with us. Listen, I've heard, and you've never see a U-Haul behind a Hertz. We can't take any of this stuff with us. But the only thing that we can take with us are souls. Yeah. And so let's do this together.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.